Going to go to the Bud Light Hotline now. Continue talking Championship Sunday with Ross Tucker. And Ross, I want to ask you first and foremost, Championship Sunday, best sports day of the year for you, yes or no?
Yeah, probably. It's definitely up there. By the way, what an all-star team that Birmingham has with you guys. That's amazing. I knew you guys were doing it, but I've never been on the show before. That's incredible. Hope Birmingham appreciates what they have in you two guys. Seriously. I love Championship Sunday, but I'll say this. It's going to be hard to top what we saw last weekend. Now, obviously, divisional round, I think, is the best weekend in football. The two-game Saturday, the two-game Sunday. I just can't believe it felt like every game was better than the one before it, which is amazing. But, yeah, I love Conference Championship Sunday. You know, I never got there, and I've always thought how cool it would be to wake up that morning and know if we win this game, like, we're going to the Super Bowl, dude. You know, I mean, furthest I ever got was divisional round, and I just, it's so special. I've been on the sideline for, I guess, I don't know, five or six in a row now, and when they kind of section off the area and the players go in there, and I don't know why they let me in there because I got like a special whatever. It's just the joy on their faces, and then the families come in and like they know they're going to the Super Bowl. It's really, really cool.
What do you think about this matchup between the Chiefs and the Bengals? I think the Bengals right now, and I don't like ever going against Joe Burrow or the Bengals as a whole and as an underdog. I just don't. I think that they are one of those teams that plays well in that role. I think they can score with Kansas City. I just don't know if they can score for 60 minutes. So how do you anticipate this matchup kind of unfolding when you look at how these teams match up?
Yeah, I'm kind of nervous about it, Greg. You know, I always just want a close game. You guys both call games. You know the deal. Each one to be a competitive game. I'm a little worried this game might get away from the Bengals. I hope it doesn't. And obviously they just beat them, you know, towards the end of the regular season. But Arrowhead is going to be so loud. The Bengals offensive line has really struggled in one-on-one pass blocking situations. I was really kind of surprised and disappointed at some of the sacks that Joe Burrow took last week. I think, you know, obviously it's better than a turnover, but that's one area of his game he really needs to improve because he's going to get sacked a bunch on Sunday if he doesn't get rid of the football. And that's really the Bengals' hope, right, is that the Chiefs play a lot of man-to-man. They play a lot of single high. I wouldn't be surprised if we see more two-man in this game because when they play single high, Burrow just throws it, man. He, like, anytime it's one-on-one on the outside, he just trusts his guys, whether it's T. Higgins or Ja'Marr Chase. He just kind of throws it up to those guys, and they make him right. They make the plays and make Burrow right. That is, I think, the Bengals' chance in this game. I mean, Patrick Mahomes isn't going to throw three picks like Tannehill did last week. That's not happening. So I think the chance for the Bengals is that Chase and the passing game goes off again. I'm just not sure they're going to be able to.
Visiting with Ross Tucker, host of the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. Find him on Twitter at Ross Tucker NFL, joining us on the Bud Light Hotline. You mentioned some of that coverage that the Chiefs may throw at Joe Burrow and the Bengals. How much of that is dependent on Tyrann Mathieu, his health, his availability? Didn't practice yesterday. If Daniel Sorensen is the guy that has to replace him, how different is maybe what the Chiefs call defensively going to be?
Yeah, that's an interesting point. It seems like they love to use Mathieu like almost like in a freelance, freestyle, whatever they call it, robber, where he can kind of go where he wants to go. I think that they, you know, Burrow's not going to run, and Greg can speak to this better than I can, but if Burrow's not really a runner, so I don't know. Greg, you tell me what, if the quarterback's not a runner, I guess I don't understand why teams don't play more two-man. You know, you have two deep safeties and you're able to play a man underneath. And I think that would be better for Sorensen than it would be for Mathieu. I know the concern there is that you don't have anybody for the quarterback if he runs. That's not really Burrow's game. So I'd be curious to see if they do play more two deep with man coverage underneath, especially if Tyrann Mathieu's not out there.
Well, if you go back, and I think that common sense would tell you, yes, two man all day long. Burrow, what's his closest comp? And as dangerous as it may be, his closest comp's Tom Brady. I mean, just with kind of how he kind of plays and how he throws it and how he stays tall in the pocket but can move off the spot a little bit. But I think he's got better wheels than Tom Brady. And the team that played him heavy two man got burned by it. It was Georgia back in, 2019. Now, I'm not saying, or 2018, actually. You need to go back and check this out because everyone was like, wait, I didn't know Burrow could run. The next thing you know, he torches Georgia for like 80 or 90 yards rushing. Some crazy number. I don't recall the exact number, but that was their plan is, hey, we wouldn't two-man the heck out of this guy, and he made him pay for it. So he can run. He just chooses not to. And if you want to make it a two-man fest, I do think he can be very effective extending drives on third down. And I'm not saying he takes the game over with his legs, but he can take it over enough to where you won't run two man anymore.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. You're giving me some of my commentary on the sideline for the game, by the way. Thank you very much.
Check it out. It's Georgia a couple years ago. I'll look up the exact numbers and shoot them to you in a text. But like they two-manned him, and he scorched him.
Well, so my question there would be, is it any different him being coming off the torn ACL last year? Like, has that made him a little bit more reluctant or maybe not quite as athletic? And then I wonder if Frank Clark and Melvin Ingram and some of these guys can chase him. I mean, obviously, Georgia has speed, which, by the way, the national championship game, like, I love the way Georgia plays. I mean, Dean, the safety number 16, they all look like LeVar Arrington to me. They all look like they had rocket boosters shoved up their butt. It was unbelievable.
They got a couple of missiles on that side of the football. I don't think there's any doubt about it. Ross Tucker, the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, joining us on the Bud Light Hotline. One thing that's intriguing to me are the rushing attacks of these two football teams heading in. We talked a lot about Burrow, talked a lot about Mahomes. We understand that. But Cincinnati, who I don't think Joe Mixon's gone for over 65 yards a game since like week 8. And we know Kansas City is a team that has the capabilities to do it. Clyde Edwards-Helaire looked a little bit better last week than he has. Could that end up being a big factor for either of these teams if they're able to get something going on the ground, maybe a little bit more than usual?
I don't think so, man. I mean, it could be. And I think that Cincinnati would be the team that should do it more because Mixon is a beast. And I think it could really help out the offensive line. But I don't know. I just think, you know, my guess is they probably get behind and they just start chucking it with Joe. You know, now if they get the ball first and they can lean on Mixon a little bit, I do think that's a good way to attack the Chiefs defense for sure. I don't see the Chiefs doing it on offense. I think that their running game has become kind of Patrick Mahomes with the short passes that he's been more willing to take and Patrick Mahomes running. I tweeted this on Sunday night at Ross Tucker NFL. He is either the fastest slow quarterback I've ever seen or the slowest fast quarterback I've ever seen. I mean, every time Mahomes, he doesn't look like Josh Allen out there or some of these guys. Every time Mahomes scrambles, it looks like the guy is going to get him. It looks like the guy's just about to get him, and he's just fast enough. It's funny. I had a you guys appreciate this, but a director of player personnel for a college for an FBS team text me and say that it reminded him of Tebow. And obviously, Tebow and Mahomes are very different players, but in the sense that like they would watch tape all week and be like, this guy's not that fast. Actually, an SEC guy. This guy's not that fast. Like, we can get him.
Right.
And then all game, Tebow was just fast enough for their guys to not make the tackle. And they were, like, so frustrated because it never looked like he was moving that fast. But he was just fast. That's Mahomes, man. I don't know how he does it. He doesn't look like he's fast. But nobody ever is able to quite catch him.
He's like a survival runner, though. Like, I don't feel like he runs to hurt the defense. I think he runs to survive. Like, that to me, like, it's a big difference. Like, when Kyler runs, I think he does so in an effort to take advantage of the defense. I don't feel like Mahomes does that. And I think in some ways you're right. Like, we played Tebow both in college and in the NFL, And I remember it pretty vividly. We played them on Thursday night, and we had all-out blitz called, and it's like a laugher. Jim Leonard is our safety. He's coming off the left-hand side. Eric Smith's the other safety. Eric Smith loses contain, and you just think, like, Jimmy Leonard is not the fastest guy in the world, but Jimmy Leonard with angles and stuff, like, he wasn't often going to be outrun. And Jimmy Leonard got torched by Tim. And Tim ran like 4.65 at the combine. He wasn't even like that fast, but on field, for whatever reason, he did ramp it up a little bit. I don't know what it was about him, but I think that's a fair comp.
By the way, I know both of you guys do a lot of like draft stuff. There's got to be some lesson there when you're watching Sunday night Mahomes and Josh Allen. Like, I don't know what the lesson is, but both those guys had multiple quarterbacks taken before them.
Right.
We had all, you know, I remember doing a show with you, Greg.
I loved Mahomes.
You loved Mahomes. And you're like, dude, I'm telling you, this guy does things I've never, and I'm like, dude, they didn't have a winning record.
Right. They went 6-6.
He threw like 50 interceptions. Like, what are you talking about? And you're like, and you called him Patty. You're like, I'm telling you, dude, Patty Mahomes. Like, you got to see this guy. I did a couple of their games, and it's just crazy. And I was like, yeah, I'm sure he's great, Greg. I'm sure he's great.
Well, it's crazy because with him, it was like so obvious to me. I'm like, this guy's a freak. He is. He does things I've never seen before. And he might throw a million picks. He might be a walking interception, but I'm going to take the chances. But I did not see it with Josh Allen. I did not see the athlete that he is. I didn't. Like, I thought he was a little bit on the stiff side, thought he had a huge arm, but I did not think that he would translate this quickly into being not just a top tier guy, but like 1B to Mahomes' 1A. I didn't see this coming at all. I thought he'd be a serviceable player, but not like this.
Well, neither did Cleveland or the Jets. They took Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold. I mean, none of us did. I thought Darnold was the guy that year. I mean, I've never seen a guy improve his completion percentage like Josh. I mean, he went from 52% to 58% to 69%. I did not know that was possible. Every guy I've ever talked to, every quarterback like you is like, yeah, you can improve it a little bit, but not that much. I mean, it's kind of, well, evidently you can, because Josh Allen's gone up like 20% in 2 years.
Ross, we didn't even get to the other side of these playoffs. I know you need to run. You got another hit coming up. We greatly appreciate the time you took for us today. We'll do it again soon, man. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you know what? It's my pleasure. Happy to come on with you guys anytime. Love that you guys are on together. And before I forget, myfrontpagestory.com. Greatest Valentine's Day gift ever. Have me on next week. I'll tell you about it.
There you go. Thanks, Ross. Appreciate that. Ross Tucker of the Ross Tucker Football Podcast joining us on the Bud Light Hotline.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.